Imagine all the things that you need to do to manage your staffing firm on a day-to-day basis. Now, multiply it by three. We'll talk about this and more coming up on today's episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. Secrets of Staffing Success is brought to you, as always, by Haley Marketing Group. Right now, we're offering two great deals. First, our Google Mastery, where we'll get you to the top of search results on more than 2 million websites in Google's advertising network. And second, our social visibility that includes custom blog writing, our award-winning social pro services, and reputation management services. To learn more about these two great deals from Haley Marketing, please call us at 888-696-2900.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the president of BOS Staffing.
He's Nat Carmack. Nat, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, before we get into it, let's talk about BOS Staffing. Why don't we have you give us your 60-second elevator pitch for BOS?
Well, that's kind of complicated because it actually depends on which hat I'm wearing at any given time. We actually have three separate people-oriented businesses, as I would say. Two of them in the staffing industry and one is in the security industry. If I'm wearing my BOS staffing hat, I'd say that we serve our clients in North Georgia with their staffing needs. We do admin clerical, including accounting, customer service, things like that, as well as some skilled manufacturing as well. We provide longer-term solutions for our clients. Nearly all of our businesses temp to hire. We do very little actual temporary work. And we've just celebrated 40 years in business doing that. We've also got our medical staffing company. They focus exclusively on nursing, just four certifications, RNs, LPNs, CNAs, and MAs. And that's all on a per diem basis, pretty much. We focus on the assisted living, behavioral health, and corrections facilities across North Georgia. But we'll provide a nurse for pretty much any facility that calls us, but those are our focus. And then we have our other business that, like I said, is like staffing. It's a people business, but it does have some pretty major differences as well. We provide security services, including needs assessments, training, as well as armed and unarmed guards for a variety of businesses and for the federal government. And that business now is in six states. Those are longer-term relationships with clients. We actually become their security department for their organization, so it's a much more involved relationship. We tend to be a little higher-cost solution than some of our competitors because we have a commitment to hiring better officers and more training. But so those are our three specializations, the things that we do.
And what has become now my favorite question to ask of everybody we have on the show is, how did you get involved in this industry?
Well, we're a family business. Dad started Business Office Services back in 1979. That's where the BOS came from. It got to where Business Office Services was a little too long. And as the company grew and changed and wasn't just doing office personnel anymore, it didn't really make sense. So that's when he changed it to BOS Temporaries. And then later I changed it to BOS Staffing. But even back then as a child, I mean, I had some involvement a little bit, but I never thought or imagined or planned that I would go into the business later on. In high school, I started doing some temp jobs, you know, just during the summer or whatever, cleaning up buildings. This will tell you how long ago it was. I had one job where I was repackaging old VHS videotapes, which I think that was back with the dinosaurs. I had a job one time stamping imprints on the sides of cigarette lighters. So I just did a variety of things as a temp. I think when I was after high school, probably I was sent as a temporary bank courier one summer. Their regular guy was out, I think, for surgery for several weeks. And so I did that, making deliveries for them between the branches in North Georgia. And I guess they liked me because they wound up hiring me to work part-time as a teller during college. And banking became my first of what I say are my three careers that I've been in. I did banking for a while after college and then decided it was time to go to graduate school, thinking I was going to go back into banking. But after graduate school, banking had changed. That was back when all the takeovers and so forth were happening and banks were failing and my interests shifted. So I decided that it was time to do something different after graduate school. So I went to work for another family-owned business here in town. And that was a great opportunity. I was in their special projects department. And basically, I got to work throughout the company, just making improvements, different projects to make their company better. I learned a whole lot about business. And I got to see a family business from the other side, from not being part of the family, and the good and the bad, and you know the dynamics that the non-family employees see and experience. So that was all good, but after a while, though, I decided it was time to do my own thing, and I wanted to be in control, good or bad. And so that's when I joined Dad in the business in 2002. At that point, it was one business, one corporation, and it was just the four of us. I took somebody's place that was leaving when I came into the business, and it was just the four of us. So I did a little bit of everything, but as we've grown, I've learned to delegate and pass things off to other people.
Yeah, and I'm curious, you know, kind of growing up in the industry and watching your dad work and working with him, and what's kind of the one thing that's always stuck with you that you learned from him?
Well, we got to have good folks. We got to have the good people in here to help us, especially as we've grown. It was kind of tough there for a while, letting go of things. But if you can trust them, then you can let them go and let them run with those things and take care of them for you.
With having your hand in, you know, what we could say three, you know, very different companies, I got to imagine there's a laundry list of challenges that comes with, you know, you kind of being spread amongst those three. So what would you say is kind of the biggest challenge in managing those three distinct companies, three distinct divisions?
Well, I've said a few times that I feel like a ping pong ball a lot of days, just bouncing back and forth between all the different things that are going on. But, you know, I've got good folks that can take care of things for me. And but what we've done is we've got three distinct operations. And while I may be moving back and forth between the different things, the folks that are actually doing those things, they're focused and they have their processes. They have their things that they're doing, their ways of doing things. And they work pretty much independently of each other, I would say, for the most part. You know, each brand has their own website, their own phone system. They've got their own everything. And they know the kinds of candidates that they need to recruit. They know what kind of clients that they need to be going after. Really, the only overlap that we have is in the back office. The accounting department, they do all three. The HR manager helps all three and so forth. But we've had to create those lanes of specialization, really, to keep everybody focused and successful. That's not to say that they don't work together sometimes. We are all interconnected. We have opportunities to help each other. You know, for example, we may have a hospital that'll say, you know, that we may be working with them on nurses. And maybe they say that they need a receptionist or a medical biller. Our medical people can't help them with that. They don't have those resources. They don't have the means to do it. So what they do then is they bring in somebody from the other company. They work together, parallel, separate processes, but they work together in parallel and checking in with each other every once in a while. But they have their own areas of specialization. That's the only way to do it. If we tried to have people moving back and forth and doing a little bit of everything, we would never be able to do it. So, you know, that's been a big thing. And communication, of course, is just absolutely critical. We've become very intentional about our communications. A couple of years ago, we studied the book Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. You've probably heard of it.
Sure.
And one of the big things we took out of that was the daily huddle. We started doing those daily huddles every day, and actually our medical staffing team, they're pretty much 24/7 with those nurses. And so they actually have two daily huddles now. They have one in the morning and then one at the end of the day to basically start that second day, I guess you could say, of the overnight shift and staying in touch with each other. And so we use those daily huddles, keeping everybody together and in tune. And then on Thursdays, we kind of made up our own thing. We have what we call the super huddle. And we bring everybody together. All three teams come together for one big call. And we share what's going on and trying to keep those lines of communication going because it's tough with us doing so many different things and being spread out. We have three offices here in Georgia, and they're a good hour or a little more apart from each other. So that daily huddle has been really important in keeping everybody together. And we even start off each of those huddles with some good news. We just let everybody share whatever's going on. It could be, you know, their kids' accomplishments or what have you. And just trying to keep everybody together and not becoming some anonymous name on an email from another office that we have no idea who that person is. So that's been the key, is keeping everybody communicating and working together as we're going forward.
And how have you approached the marketing and sales efforts across those three divisions? Have you tried to have a consistent, cohesive message, but yet be specific to those organizations?
To an extent with the, not really, with the staffing and the medical, if you go to those websites or those social media, they look similar. They have similar colors, similar layout, that sort of thing. But then the images are totally different. The content and the message in there is totally different because, you know, BOS Medical is going after nurses, and BOS Staffing is going after, you know, other kinds of positions, customer service people or, you know, bookkeepers and things like that. And so it's a totally different message. And if we tried to do them, if we try to do the same thing, it just, we wouldn't do either one of them very well. So they have their own websites, their own social media, their own marketing plan to present those messages to them. The only way that you would know there was any connection between them, if you scroll to the very bottom of the website, down at the very, very bottom, the very last thing, there's links to the other companies. But that's it. Otherwise, those two would look, they would look separate. Security, of course, is very different. Yeah. And that was very intentional. We went with completely different design, colors, the messaging, everything is all completely different so that we could be competitive against those regional and national security firms and not just look like a staffing firm that's going to send a warm body out to sit and watch the door one night, because that's not at all what we do. I think being in staffing, though, has made us better at being in the security industry, made us better recruiters. I think we've learned to be more creative and to find those people, but then it's also made us better marketers in the security industry. We've taken those same methods and tools that we've learned from those Lunch with Haley webinars that we've watched over the years, and we've applied it to the security industry. And so many of our competitors don't do that. They don't have active mobile optimized websites. They don't have mobile optimized job boards for recruiting those security officers that they need. They're not blogging on a regular basis. So it's really helped us to be better. Even though the messages are different, it still helps us to build those relationships in that industry better than we would have otherwise. So it's helped us to be more competitive.
And we appreciate that free plug for our Lunch with Haley webinars.
Always.
That everybody can check out at lunchwithhaley.com.
There you go.
You mentioned earlier on about, you know, what your dad said is always make sure you got good people around you. And you mentioned that, too, about, you know, when managing those three divisions, about having those people you can trust. What are, you know, maybe the top one or two traits that you look for when you're bringing people in? Because I know, you know, turnover in, you know, with the internal staff amongst the staffing industry is always very difficult. So, you know, what are those things that you look for when you're bringing somebody into your organization where you can say, yep, you know what, I'm going to trust this person to run this division or be, you know, a part of this division, and I'm not going to have to worry about it?
Well, I think the first thing that probably comes to mind is being a problem solver. That's, I can't do everything as big as the organization has become. They've got to be able to solve their problems on their own, whether it's their own issue of, you know, finding that hard to find candidate that they can't figure out where to find them, or, you know, maybe it's something else internal, but, you know, it's that candidate that's something's wrong with their, or that employee that something's wrong with their paycheck, they need to be able to take ownership of that problem and get it resolved with accounting for that person. Or if it's totally outside, they've got to keep on being a squeaky wheel and trying to resolve that problem with the software company or whatever it may be. So that they've got to be good problem solvers and able to take care of things on their own. The other thing I guess our second thing, hopefully, it's equal. I call this, you know, being fair to all concerned. Dad and I are both active in Rotary. One of the things about being a Rotarian is that everything that we do is fair to all concerned. And that's another one of our things. Staff needs to be fair to the candidate. They need to be fair to the client. And they've also got to be fair to themselves and to the business because, you know, sometimes things can get out of kilter if somebody's making unreasonable demands in any area. But our goal is to make sure that whatever we do is fair to everybody involved on all sides of the equation.
Yeah, it sounds very much like our rule of threes that we implement here at Haley Marketing. You know, if we're making a decision, is it good for that client? Is it good for Haley Marketing? And is it good for you yourself? Is it going to, you know, make you feel good about doing your job? I really like that, you know, that mindset that you guys have there. You know, we're coming up here, you know, very beginning of 2020 with some uncertain. You know, there's obviously a major election coming up at the end of the year. You know, we are, knock on wood, overdue for a bit of a dip in the economy. So, you know, if you had to put on, you know, your soothsayer's hat here and look at what this industry is going to look like, you know, maybe December 31st, 2020, where do you see this industry going this year?
Well, I get asked this question. I think people know that staffing is a leading indicator of the economy. So people do ask this on a somewhat regular basis. I'll give you two answers. I think nationally, I think the signs are that we are probably already in or entering, I'm just going to say a slowdown.
I like that better.
maybe a very, very mild recession. I don't think it's going to be anything like we experienced 10 years ago. But I think the national economy probably is due for a little bit of a leveling out here. We've had a lot of big growth for a long time, and you just can't keep doing that forever. I think the nationally, the industry will be about the same as where we are right now, probably at the end of the year, just because of that. I don't think we're going to see big gains, but I don't think we're going to see big losses either. But I'll contrast that with the Southeast, and particularly us here in Georgia, is that things here are just churning right along. The governor likes to promote that we've been ranked number one for business now for several years in a row. Every week, there's another company announcing that they're moving jobs somewhere here in our market area. Every time I hear that, it just gives me pause. And I think, where in the world are we going to get all these people? We need some of you folks that live up there in the snow states to come down here where it's nice and warm in Georgia and help us fill some of these jobs, because it's incredible down here. It's not slowing down.
It's kind of one of those bittersweet things where you say, well, all this great new businesses coming into town, that's more potential clients. But then, as we've been experiencing over the past few years, where do you find the talent now? I guess when we're looking at this type of talent market, we're also looking at a lot of passive job candidates. So how are you guys identifying those passive candidates? What have been some of the best tactics for you guys?
Well, you know, I think just generally we've just got some good marketing out there all over the place, in social media and wherever, trying to find them. We've actually, you know, I was joking about the people moving down here from the snow states, but we really are trying to target some of our marketing towards people that are moving down here, because, you know, the well here is getting dry, but there are people that are moving, and maybe it's the spouse of somebody that's being transferred or whatever, but we've been trying to go after some of those folks that that maybe are new to the area and try to be the first ones to get in front of them and get our name out there, so that hopefully they'll consider us before anything else and we'll have a chance to place them.
Yeah, I like that about, you know, treating candidates kind of like you treat your clients. And something I preach on this show, preach to my clients for many years now, is just treating candidates like you would a prospect, a client prospect, and making sure that you're marketing to those people on a very consistent basis. And make sure that, you know, I love that idea. You know, if people are moving down south and you're getting transplants coming in, there's probably a spouse that's coming with them and they need a job. I really like that mindset that you guys are in there where you treat your candidates kind of like a prospective client. Before we let you go, I asked you at the beginning, what's the best bit of advice or the best thing you've learned from your dad? What's the best bit of advice that you could give to a young Nat as he enters this industry?
You make me feel old when you ask something like that.
Just a younger Nat. We won't say a young Nat. We'll say a younger.
Okay. Well, I'm feeling older. So, I think we all need good people around us. We all need that support structure. And we found one just a couple of years ago that's been important to me and to my managers. A while back, I met the owner of a staffing firm at a software conference, and she suggested that I check out this group called TempNet. And I had sort of kind of heard of it, but never really didn't know much about it. And, at the time I thought, oh, that's just one more meeting to attend and something else to pay dues to. And I didn't do anything with that information. Later, another owner of a different firm called me, and he convinced me to fly down and check out one of their meetings. Now I just wish that we had done this a long time ago. TempNet, it's a group of independently owned, non-competing staffing companies from around the country. We get together twice a year, but then we also have just daily emails together, and we can call each other anytime and ask each other anything, any problem that we're having in our business, if we're looking at new software, if we've got some sort of a legal issue, whatever it is. We've got that support structure now that we can call on the other people that have been through this or are going through this in their market, and we can all share together. They even had a thing where one of my managers went to somebody else's office, and they had a group that got together, and they shared ideas on how they were doing things, and now they still have monthly phone calls where they can share and help each other, and it's just great to have that support structure, those people. We all need mentors. We all need people to help us in our business. And for so long, we tried to do that on our own internally. And now it's nice to finally have some outsiders to help us with that as well. So, that's the thing I wish that I had known a long time ago, was that that we had that support structure of a group like TempNet to help us along. No telling where we'd be now if we had been doing that.
But you got them now, and we've worked with the TempNet folks for a while, and we know how important they are to their members, and there's a bunch of other groups out there as well. And for a industry like staffing that is so entrepreneurial driven, it is great to have that support system there and to be so supportive of each other and want to help each other. That's the one thing I've noticed about this industry, being in it for 17 years now, is just how supportive everybody is to each other. And wanting to help and wanting to know what other people are doing and sharing that information. We obviously see it with all of our guests that we have here on our podcast coming on and being willing to share some of their secrets. And Nat, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today on Secrets of Staffing Success and sharing some of your secrets with our industry.
Great. Thank you.
My big thanks to Nat Carmack from BOS Staffing. If you'd like to learn more about them, you can check out their website, bosstaff.com. And there's also bosmedicalstaffing.com and bossecurity.com. I really enjoyed what Nat was saying about finding those passive candidates. And I know it's a topic that we have discussed a lot on this show, but it's a huge issue for the staffing industry right now. But what I liked was how he thinks kind of a little bit beyond what the traditional passive candidates are. So you've got, an area like Georgia where you have a lot of transplants, a lot of people moving from the north down south. Okay, those people probably move, a lot of them are moving for jobs, but they're also bringing along family members with them. They're bringing along a spouse who may be looking for another job. Maybe you're in an area that has a military base or a large military community. How about those military members who are coming off of assignments? They're coming back home from being deployed overseas. How are you going to help them get jobs now that they're done with their military service? So there's a lot of those little groups that you can look at
to find those passive candidates right now. I also liked what he said about hiring good folks. I mean, it sounds so basic, but if you're in a position like Nat where you are managing different divisions or even different companies, you need to make sure that the people you're putting in place to help you are the best of the best. So what are the qualities that you're looking for? You know, Nat mentioned trust, having trust that you can leave this person alone to fulfill all of the duties. You know, Nat mentioned trust and having that trust in people so that you can, you know, that they're going to get the job done while you're juggling multiple divisions and multiple companies. Maybe for you, that quality is something different. But making sure that everybody that you're hiring is one, you know, has those talents and has those skills that you're looking for, but is also aligned with what your company mission and your company goals are. Something we're working a lot here at Haley Marketing right now, and I think it's a really great practice for everybody to do, is to take all of your goals and your mission and your values and say, does everybody we have right now match those? And going forward, everybody that we're hiring should meet those criteria that we have. So really good stuff from Nat there. Again, Nat Carmack, BOS Staffing, thank him so much. And thank everybody out there for listening. If you would like to find us, you know, we're on all the usual places, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your Apple device, and of course at HaleyMarketing.com. That'll do it for us this week on Secrets of Staffing Success. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.